Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour presented by Trophy Smack.
Yeah, and at Trophy Smack, you can get a wonderful belt that these fellas are seeing. What do you guys think? Championship belt over my shoulder. I know this is terrible podcasting, but it is a beaut. And when you go and buy a trophy before May 2nd, you can get yourself a Saquon Barkley jersey. It's going to be a raffle, a drawing. We'll send the link underneath in the podcast description. All you have to do is get yourself a trophy or a belt, and you can be in the raffle for a Saquon Barkley jersey. And still, when you use code DHHRING, you can get yourself a free $60 championship ring. That is like double the prizes, guys. You can get a ring and a Saquon Barkley jersey.
Which is autographed, I think, right?
Yeah. How fantastic is that? An autographed Saquon Barkley jersey. A chance at it. I'm not saying you're getting it. A chance at it. A championship ring and a trophy. You're going to be walking into your draft room and redraft or dynasty, and just people are going to know you're champ. So
swagger.
Yeah, of course. Go and get that championship trophy belt. Get yourself that free ring, DHH ring, and get yourself a chance at that Saquon Barkley signed jersey.
Awesome. It has been a great NFL draft weekend. There's a lot to unpack from this NFL draft. But obviously you heard Tyler's voice. You know, he's here this week. My other co-host, Tim Keller, is also in the house. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing good, fellas. It's good to have you guys back. I did a little solo pod last week. But yeah, starting Thursday evening into what felt like late in the day Saturday, the NFL draft took place, and it's like Christmas all 3 days, you know.
Yep. This year it was kind of like Christmas, but you didn't get what you wanted.
Yeah,
you open up the gifts with excitement, and you're like, oh, another pair of underwear. Oh, I got clothes. I got socks. Cool.
It's like that. It's like being 17, 18. You're not getting neat things anymore.
I was at a bar with a friend of mine. It was his birthday in the draft. We were there watching it. And the bartender comes up and she goes, oh, you guys here to watch the draft? And everybody's like, yeah, yeah. And she goes, yeah, I mean, I know somebody who actually takes off work all the days and watches the draft religiously. It's like a holiday to him. All eyes in this group just stared at me. And I looked at her and I'm like, that would be me. I took off Thursday, Friday, and I'm watching the draft. Mm-hmm. It is like a holiday. And like Doug said, I mean, I didn't get what I want, but the feeling was there. The great, fantastic feeling of Christmas was there. And now we get the second part Christmas. It's like my birthday's on December 28th. So it's like the second Christmas, and that is our rookie drafts.
Well, the good thing, so even though the draft was a bit of a disappointment overall, I think, from a fantasy standpoint, At least we did get Avengers Endgame this weekend. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it this week in a matinee. So the theater will be empty. It's $2 popcorn and drink day. I'm in and out
Fantastic.
For $10. Let's roll. And then we just had Game of Thrones, which whew, we won't spoil anything, but wow.
Everybody dies. Everybody dies. I'm spoiling it all.
What an absolute boss of an episode. Oh, oh my God. So, yeah, even though the draft was disappointing, I'm sure Avengers Endgame is going to be amazing. And Game of Thrones was elite this week. So, with that said, what we're going to do this week is we're going to go over the picks in the NFL draft, give you some quick analysis on these players. You know, we're going to kind of mix in things of what we feel with the fits with other players that are already on the team. You know, draft capital is a big thing when it comes to dynasty football. So we saw some guys that we thought would have good draft capital kind of slide down the board a little bit, which is making these rookie mocks. There's been some early mocks out there. Tyler and I are currently doing one. And then Tim, Tyler, and I are doing an auction draft. And it's just all over the place. This is unlike any year that I've played Dynasty so far, where the players are just all over the map. I mean, you're seeing some players go at 1-4, 1-5, and then in some other drafts, they go 2-2, 2-3. Like, there's a lot of variance. And we'll probably hit it on a little bit about that. So you guys ready to start with the 101? Oh. It was a big surprise. No, it wasn't. It was Kyler Murray. So Kyler Murray gets picked by the Arizona Cardinals. No surprise there. Side note to this trade, Josh Rosen gets shipped off to the Miami Dolphins for a second-round pick, and then the Dolphins or the Cardinals picked up, I think, a pick next year. So Rosen, for all intents and purposes, is going to be the starter in Miami, I think, over Ryan Fitzpatrick. That would just make a lot of sense. But Kyler Murray to the Cardinals, and I got to tell you, out of all the teams in the draft that did a pretty good amount of work, and we'll touch on some of the players that they drafted later, I really like what the Cardinals did to surround Kyler Murray with some potential weapons here. So let's go to Tyler first. I think Murray is the consensus 101 in Superflex leagues, right, Tyler?
Yeah, easily. I mean, with how the draft kind of went, Kyler Murray seems like the one guy that's going to maintain value in Superflex league, and he's a guy that's going to have big-time value in a super flex league, especially with this talent. And hopefully with the Kingsbury offense, he'll be running. Hopefully he's very
he's
dynamic.
He's going to have to with that line.
Yeah. And
they didn't do much to shore up the line, which was kind of weird.
Honestly, I think they didn't because of the whole he can kind of move around and they're going to do more of a run pass option type thing. So I think that's the whole reason why they didn't. They focused on more of the weapons and tried to be probably a high-powered offense and just fast-paced and hopefully just let him do his thing.
My favorite comment, so I watched the draft at Buffalo Wild Wings in Greece, New York, which is just outside of Rochester, and one of my good friends said he just couldn't stop staring at Kyler Murray's head and how big it looked. He's got such a big head, and I was like, yeah, he kind of does. And then I looked at the TV and I looked at him and I said, you know who Kyler Murray looks like? And he said, what? And I said, he looks like a bad guy in like a kung fu flick. That's what Kyler Murray looks like. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. So going to the next pick in the draft was the 106. And this one, so I actually won a free beer on this pick because I had a friend of mine bet me that the Giants were going to take Dwayne Haskins. And I said, no, they aren't. So I got a free beer out of it. Thank you for the tall cider, my friend John Tedisco. You're the best. But the Giants did select a quarterback. And it was Daniel Jones out of Duke. Tim, when you heard the Giants make this pick, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I had heard a lot of talk about Daniel Jones to the Giants. I just assumed that meant 17th or later, possibly. But everything I've heard is the Giants felt that Daniel Jones wasn't going to be around at 17, so they decided to just jump and take him there. So my initial reaction is, what the hell are you doing, New York? And it seemed that the if the Giants Twitter is a thing, Giants fan Twitter exploded after this pick of extremely hate-filled tweets at Gettleman and other front office personnel there for the Giants. But they went and got their running back last year. They're getting who they think is going to be their quarterback of the future this year.
Traded their franchise receiver.
Yeah, there's a lot of odd moves. We'll say odd moves that the Giants have made recently. But, I mean, if Daniel Jones works out, great pick by the Giants. I personally don't love Daniel Jones, though. I think that's a crazy pick at 106.
What? You're the only person.
I think his ceiling is Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see a...
And Trubisky's still raw, mind you, but I think his ceiling, if all pans out, he could be Mitchell Trubisky, which is okay, I guess.
Yeah, they're okay quarterbacks. I don't see him being what I would consider a franchise quarterback, somebody that your franchise can lean on and you're going to go win them games.
Hey, but Tim, you know, Dave Gettleman was at the Senior Bowl and he said he saw three series and just knew he was a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even believe you would say that in public.
You saw three series of a kid at an all-star game and you think...
I wouldn't even say that to my wife laying in bed for pillow talk. Why would you say that in front of the media? I don't know. Let's move on. I don't want to talk about Daniel Jones for too long because we got a lot of players to get through. I'll give this next one to Tyler because this is his guy. With the eighth pick, no real surprise here that the Detroit Lions took TJ Hawkinson out of Iowa. So, Tyler, we've seen the Detroit Lions take Eric Ebron in the top 10. We've seen them take, who was the other? Pettigrew, I think, was a top 10 pick as well. Is Hawkinson going to be the one that hits?
Yeah, and it's because system and just who he is. Pettigrew was a guy that I think he was in the 17, 18 range, which is still pretty high for a tight end. And he had a couple years before he had his injuries. He was just a big guy that blocked, which Hawkinson's going to be. But Hawkinson is way more athletic. He's a guy that can do everything very well. And I think with Golden Tate gone, he's going to control the middle of the field. Marvin Jones might not be fully healthy, so he could get targets taken away from him, going to Hawkinson. They want to run the ball, yes, so Hawkinson helps with that. But he's going to be on the field a ton. Hawkinson probably won't leave that field. He might not play 10% of the snaps, but as an eighth overall pick, they're using him, and they're going to use him a lot, and they are going to use him a lot in the red zone as well.
Stafford, yeah, and they had problems blocking last year too. So I think he is going to be very much a Gronk light for Matt Patricia.
Yep, and I agree. I think that's what they want him to do. They're going to have him kind of do the fake block like Gronk always did, then just go up for a quick pass. And then let him do the run after the catch. And that's going to be nice. I mean, the linebackers in the NFC North are pretty good. So that's going to be tough for him. But I think he's NFL ready right now. And I think you're going to get production out of him his rookie year. But I think year two, you're going to see that big jump. But I love Hawkinson. He's actually number two for me in my rankings now. Yes, I have moved him out of one. He is now my number two.
And we just saw him go at the 105 in a tight end premium league in the UDPL. So
yeah,
I think he's a top five pick in that particular format. Absolutely, the way after everything kind of shook out in the draft. So we're gonna move on to the 15th pick. The Washington Redskins were on the clock. Now there was rumors that they were trying to trade up for Dwayne Haskins. They didn't have to. He fell to them at the 115. I like this fit quite a bit with Haskins. I mean, all he has in front of him is Case Keenum. You know, I think that Washington's offense, if they get a healthy Darius Geis back, you know, which we'll touch on a little bit later, you know, they still have Chris Thompson there to catch passes. Jordan Reed is still there for his five games a year. You know, at receiver, they made some moves and they have some pieces there still. So I think if Haskins can beat out Case Keenum for the job, I think that he's pretty easily the QB2 off the board in Superflex and probably a top five overall pick. What do you think, Tim? Will you take him in the top five in Superflex formats?
Personally, I wouldn't. I'm not a big Haskins lover. I think the Redskins had a fantastic draft, though. And I mean, everybody had Haskins to the Redskins. And the Redskins really, you know, could have did what the Redskins have done for a long time and made a dumb deal to get up to 101 or trade into the top five and lose a bunch of value elsewhere. But they sat back, they let the draft come to them, and they got the guy they were targeting all along at 15, and they didn't have to give up anything for him. So,
yeah,
you know, as far as being a GM for an NFL team, congratulations to the Redskins. You guys pulled it off finally. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to do something with Alex Smith's leg all into dust, like in Avengers. Just
I thought getting Montez Sweat too in the first round. I know this isn't fantasy talk, but IDP range, Montez Sweat, and that defensive line. Ooh, that defensive line is very good now.
Yeah, watch out.
Yep. So then at the 20th pick, the Denver Broncos, who were picking 10th originally, traded down with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this was a bit of a surprise landing spot for me. Like, I was kind of just casually thinking that they were going to take a different position. But they took Noah Fant, the second tight end out of Iowa, goes to the Denver Broncos. So now we've got some young, really attractive pieces here in Denver. Tim, you know, I think some people really like this spot and some don't. What's your feeling on Noah Fant in the Broncos offense with Joe Flaccid?
With Joe there, you have to like it for any tight end there. Sadly, I invested in Jake Butt a few years back, and I've held those shares. So really, this kind of kills the, you know, the Jake Butt shares for me. But I think Fant is going to be a good fit. Obviously, there's that learning curve with the tight ends. But if he can get in the good graces of Mr. Joe Flacco, I mean, sky's the limit there, at least for year one. Obviously, the quarterback situation might change before we know it.
That is very true, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. So the next pick, not the next pick, but the next pick we're going to talk about, was the 24th overall pick in the first round, and it was the Oakland Raiders. Now, this was a very – there's two picks that were pretty much mocked in everyone. Yeah. One was the 105, was Devin White to Tampa. And then the 124 was Josh Jacobs to the Raiders. So he goes here to the Raiders, who have some opportunities. No Marshawn Lynch, no Doug Martin. They did sign Isaiah Crowell, and they still have Jalen Richard there. I think this really elevates Jacobs into the top of your dynasty drafts. Tyler, where does this bump Jacobs for you?
He is my 101. I love the landing spot. I think he's going to get play. Mayock's already come out and said he's a three-down back, and I think he's going to get every opportunity. He's a first-round pick. That is a running back, which is huge. He's going to get opportunity. Everybody's looking for a running back that gets opportunity. That's what matters as a running back. The first round pedigree is going to give him every opportunity. He's probably going to have a huge, gigantic leash. I mean, we saw Trent Richardson get how many years, and he sucked. So, I mean, even if Jacobs has a learning curve, I think he's going to get the longer leash. He can catch passes. I think he is going to be, I don't know, 15 overall running back this year in fantasy, a high-end running back too, with probably the volume he's going to get. And I think their offensive line is pretty decent. Their offense looks pretty good to me. I don't know about you guys, but I think their offense definitely got upgraded this offseason.
It's improved over last year, absolutely. Yep. I agree with you on that.
And I mean, we heard the quarterback might be swapped out, but Carr is solidified now. So
he survived.
Yep. And who knows? Gruden could be a mastermind. And we're all just living in his world, and he's controlling us like puppets.
I mean, they did take Cleveland Farrell number 4 overall, which was a bit of a surprise, to be honest. But hey, get your guy, I suppose, right? Yeah. Just like we say, just like we say in fantasy, get your guy.
He's safe.
Jacobs was the first running back off the board, and with the very next pick, the Baltimore Ravens traded back from 22 with Philadelphia, and they picked Marquise Hollywood Brown to go with their offense. You know, I think the initial reaction for most dynasty and fantasy fans was like, ew, it's Baltimore. But as you kind of dig a little deeper and do more, you know, research on it, I don't think it's as bad as we initially thought. But Tim, Hollywood Brown goes to Baltimore. He's coming off the Liz Frank injury. For all intents and purposes, he's their number one receiver because that depth chart isn't very good. You know, when you look at Willie Snead, Seth Roberts, Jordan Lasley is still there. Those shares kind of took a hit, whatever. But what do you think about Hollywood Brown pairing up with Lamar Jackson?
I'm not getting anybody I love yet. And nothing against Hollywood. I think he's a very, very small. You know, everybody's going to talk about his size, obviously. 166 pounds. I'm very interested to see if he can hold up in this league. He's got a fantastic speed. But I think that the defenses... I think this helps Mark Ingram more than anything. I think his speed's going to keep the safeties back because we saw what the the Chargers did against the Ravens in that playoff game where they just, you know, they stacked the box with athletic players. You almost play a close to the line dime game against them, and you can just go sideline to sideline and not let Lamar beat you. This is going to force those defenses to play more standardized defenses with the safeties back to compete with that speed. And that's going to help the run game more than anything. Obviously, Lamar's going to have a full offseason this year, and we'll see if he can start hooking up with the receivers more. But until I see it, I'm not in love with any receiver in Baltimore.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. And we'll talk about another receiver here shortly. But speaking of receivers, we saw our second receiver go off the board with the 32nd overall pick. Now, my team did not trade out. They did not trade up.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't New England it.
They stood pat, and when I heard the name N'Keal Harry selected by the New England Patriots, oh boy, did I get giddy. I was very, very happy because, as we all know, New England has some needs at wide receiver with, you know, Josh Gordon's status kind of still up in the air. They have Julian Edelman. They signed Maurice Harris, Bruce Ellington, and Demaryius Thomas. So obviously the path to targets, there's no Gronk for N'Keal Harry, it's a plum spot for him to go in, first of all. He's still my 101, so I know Tyler and I can disagree there. But I love everything about this pick, and I was so excited that they went with a player that I really loved. So, Tyler, talk to me about N'Keal Harry going to the New England Patriots.
He is my 103, so I don't mind it. But my issue is the hit rate, with New England receivers, and with what else they drafted, it looks like they want to run the crap out of the ball. That is huge to me. You see the trenches they drafted, the linemen, and other pieces they drafted that we'll talk about later. They want to run. And with Gronk gone, I think that is a focal point. Edelman's still going to get his targets. I think Harry could be a good wide receiver too.
And he'll be a beast in the red zone.
Yes. And I think he could also be a guy that will progress as his career goes. But I think you're going to be let down and have your expectations let down year one and possibly year two. And I mean, he could get 800 yards, 7 touchdowns, which isn't bad for year one or year two.
For a rookie season, I'm fine with that.
Here's why I like it. Not saying he is this individual, but out of this class, is there another wide receiver talent that is more like Randy Moss than N'Keal?
He's not Randy Moss.
I'm not saying. Like, I just said I'm not calling him Randy Moss. Right. He's the closest thing to Randy Moss in this class, in my opinion.
No. DK probably is. Ugh. Like size. The size speed is probably it.
No, Randy Moss is a tactician. He could go up and play in the air. He could beat you with speed. He could beat you with his size. He could just he'd outwork you on the field.
Mm-hmm. N'Keal Harry is Allen Robinson. That's who he is. I love Allen Robinson. So
I'm fine with that if that's what he ends up happening. So let's move on here. So we're going to scoot into round two, and the first fantasy relevant player. Position skill player, if you will, taken in round two. Bit of a surprise here. I all think we thought that San Francisco was going to take a wide receiver at this spot. We probably thought it was going to be someone else. But with the 36th overall pick, they made Deebo Samuel the wide receiver 3 in this class. I personally love this. Tim, you're a Deebo guy, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
So talk to me about Deebo Samuel. It seems like there's a lot of mouths to feed, and some people question the fit. I love the player. So talk to me, how do you think Deebo fits into the San Francisco offense?
I like Deebo out there. I like the fact that Deebo could be what Pierre Garçon was back in Washington in this offense, where he's just a target hog and is just going to he's going to see 120 catches in a season at some point. And that's what's exciting, because most of the leagues now are PPR leagues. So getting a guy that's going to catch 120 balls, it's 120 free points essentially. But Debo's got the game to do it. Debo has a lot of tools. He's very well rounded in his game. So I'm excited to see him in the San Francisco system. Some good offensive minds out there working with this offense. So I think it's stock up for Deebo Samuel on this pick.
Yeah, and I, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, this, you know, this hurts Dante Pettis. Well, remember Dante Pettis was a second round pick as well. Mm-hmm. And the thing I like about these two guys playing together is that the versatility of both of them, you can line them up wherever you want.
Yeah, they're both chess pieces.
So Dante Pettis, wow. Hey-o. Dante.
Wait, hold on. Am I going to have Dante to beep penis that one out?
No, no, because I said penis. I didn't say the other word. So Dante Pettis, you know, one of the things that they said last year is that he was learning the position at every single spot. Yeah. You know, he was at the X, he was at the Y, the Z. Like, he's all over the place. And I love that versatility. And we saw what he can do last year towards the end of the season when he was having wide receiver 2 weeks for you with Nick Mullins, not Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. So my hope's up that this whole offense could be very, very fun to watch next year in San Francisco. So let's go to the next pick. It was the 42nd overall pick. The QB4 comes off the board. And a lot of people thought this guy was going to go to the Denver Broncos with the 10th pick in the draft, but they waited it out.
Yep.
And they traded up from 52. They gave up a couple late picks to get their guy, supposedly John Elway's guy, Drew Lock. Now, Tyler, you're a big Lock stan. Talk to me about this particular fit. And in Superflex leagues, where are you targeting Drew Lock?
All I got to say is I am the key. He is the lock. I'm all in. I love Drew Lock in this spot. Flacco once again is going to get bumped aside probably like week 10. Drew Lock's going to come in. He's going to light it up. He's got weapons. I mean, Deshaun Hamilton, mm-hmm. I love. Noah Fant now. You got Cortland Sutton there. You still have Emmanuel Sanders. Hopefully he comes back healthy.
Plenty of options in the backfield too.
Yeah. And they kind of beefed up the offensive line still. They fixed that with, I think, Dalton Reisner in the second round, which is a very good pick. He could slot in anywhere offensive line. If Elway hit on this, I mean, it took him a while, but hey, I mean, it worked.
Yeah, he had some pretty nasty quarterbacks in between Manning and now.
Yeah. Like, Manning was awesome. Then you had Captain Morgan himself. And now Drew Lock, who I think is the right fit for Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be able to chuck that thing like 180 yards in that air.
Yeah.
So I love the fit. I think him and Fant are going to grow a connection. They're both rookies. I think they'll have a good connection as the season progresses because I think Fant isn't going to be a starter right away. I think they'll play Harriman. Harriman?
Hair on Fireman.
So you're saying some of that second team reps are going to equal into first team production whenever they both get there, huh?
Yes, sir. And I like that because yep. I think, like I said, I think they're going to realize Flacco isn't as elite as he used to be. And Drew Lock's going to come in and take over and be the starter. And he was taken from me in UDPL, which sucks because he was a target of mine. I should have went earlier, but what can you do? I mean, you
win Lock some. In a super flex, is he end of the first, top of the second guy for you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think in this type of draft where everything fell, yeah, I think Lock should be one of those guys you look at the end of the first. And if he's, like, for me, I should have went with him at end of the first, but I waited, so I'm the one who looks like the fool.
Eh, it's all good. So, Tyler, I'm going to stick with you on this next pick because it's your home team. So, with the 50th overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings, a little bit of a shocker here when they made this pick. They selected Irv Smith Jr. out of Alabama. He's the tight end 3 off the board, which is pretty much the consensus. So what do you think the thought process is here for the Vikings, Tyler? Is Kyle Rudolph going to make this team, or is he going to get cut and then Irv just kind of slides right into that starting role?
Rudolph is going to be looking for a job during the holiday season after this happens because yeah, he is probably going to get cut. The Vikings could use the salary cap. I mean, their salary is pretty much one of they're like the Eagles. Where is it? You have no idea where they're coming up with this money, so they got to find it somewhere else. Rudolph is probably gone. I think Irv Smith kind of fits that Jordan Reed style that Kirk Cousins likes, and I think that's how they're going to use him. I love the fit. I have taken Irv Smith in 2 rookie drafts already, and I love
it. You made him a first rounder in tight end premium.
Yeah, I think he is a guy that in tight end premium, he needs to be a first round pick. I just talked to Paul Parcheesi from Saturday to Sunday last night.
Parcheesi?
And cool he game. Even thinks that Irv Smith is going to have earlier production than Hockenson and Fant. He likes Irv Smith a lot, as pretty much as much as I do. It could be a little homer pick because, you know, I like the Vikings. And I've gotten a lot of questions, by the way, on that. I'm still a Falcons first fan, but I do love my Vikings. So
yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a secondary team. That's cool.
So, all right, so I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good fit as well. It didn't, you know, at first I was kind of a head scratcher, and then you kind of work through the process and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. So let's move on to the next pick, and we'll go to Tim. The Tennessee Titans, rumors of them adding a receiver as well to pair with Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, who they just signed in free agency, Taywan Taylor, peace out, Craig. That dream is over. But with the 51st overall pick, the Tennessee Titans, the wide receiver 4 comes off the board, and that is A.J. Brown from Ole Miss. Tim, I'm not overly excited about this. Are you?
I love the player. I hate the landing spot. It's not a great landing spot. We have not seen Mariota even to be...
support one receiver?
Yeah, even to be able to support one receiver, let alone two. So,
they have Tannehill. Don't forget that.
Well, we'll get there. But the Corey Davis owners, and I'm in that group. I mean, I guess your shares take a hit. A.J. Brown lovers, and I'm definitely in that group. I'm still drafting A.J. Brown because I believe in
take
the talent.
Take the discount, right?
Yeah. I believe in the talent, and what did you say he went in the UDPL? Like 2.3?
203.
I'll take A.J. Brown. Hey, if I'm in your draft, let me get A.J. Brown at 203. I'll walk away with a smile. That's fantastic.
And that is super flex tight end premium format, okay. So that's why there's a little bit of a slide there. But even in standard league drafts, I think he's probably going to slide towards the bottom of the first round.
Say, he's my 10th overall.
If I get him at the back end of first rounds, I'll be just fine with that because Mariota, I believe, is on his last year of his contract. They could definitely make a move there. And obviously, you know, second year there for the Titans in that new system. So we'll see. But I'm sticking with A.J. Brown. I'm going to ride with him. I believe in the talent. He's been my guy this whole time. So I'm going to go ahead and ride with A.J. Brown.
So I know the comp has been there for the sole offseason, but Juju had a big-time drop when he went to the Steelers. People didn't believe in him. He was in – Doug, you got him at 301, I think, in UDPL back then.
Yeah, yes, I did.
So he dropped big time, and their skill sets are very similar. Yeah. So we could actually see something like that where
– Yeah, well – Juju's playing with a future Hall of Famer.
With Antonio Brown?
No, I meant with Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, gross. I even hate hearing it.
It's true.
It is what it is. All right, let's move on because we've got to get a lot of players to get through. So the next player taken, we're not going to spend any time on this one. It was the Cincinnati Bengals shocked the world. Your tight end 4 was Drew Sample.
What?
This was the first real...
No time, you said.
I'm completely stumped. I didn't know anything about this guy. I don't think he's really fantasy relevant. In tight end premium leagues, if you have a fifth-round pick, sure, because he has draft capital. Let's move on. I'm going to go back to Tim because his Philadelphia Eagles made everyone very, very happy with the 53rd overall pick in the draft. They selected Penn State running back Miles Sanders. Tim, how freaking psyched were you?
I love the player. I love the landing spot. I was at work when this happened. I had my phone up by my desk. I was streaming the draft, but I had to step away for a minute, so I missed the Eagles pick. And so I was rewinding to get back to see what the pick was. And literally, as they're walking up to announce the pick, my wife of all people texts me and says, "Penn State running back Miles Sanders is an Eagle." And blew the moment for me, but I was super pumped. I was so happy. This was a pick we got for Baltimore moving in to get Lamar Jackson at the end of round one last year. So thank you, Baltimore, for putting us in this position to allow us to have this pick. But yeah, I absolutely love Miles Sanders. I think that he's going to be a rotational back, obviously, at first, at least with the Philadelphia Eagles. But he has the
Corey
talent.
Clement's there, so.
Yeah, he has the talent.
I think it's very much going
to
be...
Until Corey Clement is actually physically dead, I don't think Tosh is not going to mention him on the show. But but I think Miles Sanders has the physical capabilities to eventually be a workhorse-style running back for...
Like a Hyde-Chubb situation.
Yeah, yep. So,
And I agree, and I think this solidifies Miles Sanders as a top 5 pick.
Yes.
In most of your groups.
But get Corey Clement because, you know, you need his handcuff. Yeah. With Miles Sanders.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Get Corey Clement if you like to self-punish yourself. All right. Next pick, we had a string of, we had 7 receivers in a row go in this draft. So we'll talk about them. We'll touch on them pretty quickly. So the Kansas City Chiefs traded up 5 spots to select Mecole Hardman out of Georgia, who has a very similar skill set to one Tyreek Hill, who has been in the news recently. You know, there's rumors that he might get cut. He might be suspended. So I think this is kind of insurance for the Tyreek Hill situation. Tyler, not only I know you've been buying the crap out of Tyreek Hill lately, but what did you think of Mecole Hardman here?
It made me nervous a little bit. I know I bought before the draft, but very cheaply, and I am okay with that. But it made me a little nervous. I am not a Hardman believer. I know he was a five-star recruit. He has some big physical traits. But, man, saying that you're going to be Tyreek Hill, I mean, if you're 70% Tyreek Hill, okay. But, I mean, I still don't think that's going to get the job done because Tyreek Hill was just unbelievable with the ball in his hands. Yep. So that's a huge job to fill. I think he's going to get overdrafted, and I have trouble seeing him on any of my rosters. Like, maybe if he slides to the third, mid-third, okay. I could see it taking a chance on him because that's all third round is a chance.
As we're talking about this, I just got an ESPN update. Looks like the NFL might put Tyreek on the exempt list.
Oh, damn.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Interesting.
But
yeah, this pick Sam was kind of writing on the wall, wasn't it?
Yeah, but can we talk about Tyreek for the just the sake that if he gets cut, he's going to get another opportunity. I mean, if Kareem Hunt did with 100%. A video, Tyreek Hill's going to get another opportunity.
Although that audio was pretty...
It was bad.
I felt a certain way when I listened to him talk about He makes his son open his arms so he can punch him in the chest. That made me feel a certain way for a few seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. We're getting off track.
But
I want to put us back on the rails.
Raise of hands. Who got the belt when they were a kid? I'm raising my hand.
Oh, I got hit with the belt.
Yeah. So that part didn't bug me. It was the part about like Tim said. But I mean, we live in a different world now.
Yeah.
That is very true. Let's move on to one of my favorite picks.
Say, Doug, you want me to announce this one and throw it to you?
No. I got it. I'm going to take this one.
All right.
So the Philadelphia Eagles come back again a few picks after taking Miles Sanders, and they make J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the wide receiver 6.
Love it.
And oh boy, was I freaking happy. Not only does he get to be paired with Carson Wentz, who is a top-flight fantasy quarterback.
A stud.
But the opportunities are there. Alshon Jeffrey's 30. Nelson Aguilar is rumored to be traded. Like, DeSean Jackson's there pretty much for 1 year. Arcega-Whiteside is the future on this team.
So can I come in?
They put in a minute. They put the draft capital in him. I think he can do a little bit of everything. Like I said in a previous pod, I think he's like a combination of Mike Evans and Dez Bryant. I love it in this offense. Wheels up on Arcega-Whiteside. What's up, Tyler?
So I think this is going to be Jeffrey insurance. Jeffrey's old. He's never, ever healthy. He's got major hamstring injuries. We could see Arcega-Whiteside be productive year one. Jeffrey is never healthy. Yeah, and the skill set's almost similar. Like, it's like
I was just about to say, JJ reminds me so much of a young Alshon. And he's going to get to learn from Alshon this summer, this camp, in the beginning of the season. And like Doug said, he will just step into Alshon's shoes within a year or two to take over that role 100%.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be the one in Philly. Yep. Carson Wentz
and him because the Eagles
are going to
be up
magic.
Against it in the cap at the end of the year. And then Alshon's going to be out of there. Yep. And it's going to be Whiteside.
Well,
so absolutely.
Wentz has a contract come in that he's going to get. They're going to have to do some magic with the cap like they always do. And he's going to be the cap hit. Alshon's going to be the cap casualty because they have the replacement right there.
There's going to be plenty of them.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's keep it moving with some of these other wide receivers. So next off the board, and I'll give this one to you, Tyler, because you just had a decision in a league where you had to decide between two players, and you picked this gentleman. His name is Paris Campbell, and I love this fit going to the Colts with the 59th overall pick in the draft, your 7th wide receiver off the board. So, Tyler, you had to decide between A.J. Brown and Paris Campbell, but you decided to take a trip to France and take Paris.
Yep, and it was pretty easy for me. I mean, I had luck, and I know I had the kind of stupid comment, luck in Paris. So I...
Dad jokes.
Yeah, that was bad.
I think T.Y. is going to be the field stretcher still, and then you're going to have Paris be the short...
Over Mr. 4-3?
Yeah, well, Paris is the short guy. He's the guy that goes on the screens and just uses that athletic ability. You watch him in Ohio State. There's a lot of short passes, short, short, short. Paris has that ability to take a screen pass and go the distance, which is going to be fantastic for the Colts. It's going to be great for that quick pass game that they want to do. And Paris Campbell fits exactly what they needed. And that is a very fast receiver that can do things with the ball in his hands. I think Paris Campbell has a lot more to grow, which is going to be great. I think that he's in the right system, the right team. And I mean, my decision was between A.J. Brown and Paris Campbell, and I looked at the situation more than the player. I like A.J. Brown a lot. I think if he was in the Colts, man, that is amazing. But the fact that it was Paris Campbell with the Colts, with Andrew Luck, who is going to be there for a while, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I think that's just a plum landing spot for Paris, so that's awesome. So next we had Andy Isabella, UMass product, with the pick that the Cardinals got in the Josh Rosen trade, goes to the Cardinals, 62nd overall. So this is part of the weapons for Kyler Murray that they're kind of building here. And, you know, there was a lot of rumors that Isabella was going to be a late second, early third round pick, and that's exactly where he went. So, Tim, Andy Isabella, a lot of people criticize him for being too much of a body catcher, yeah, but he's got speed, and it looks like he can line up in the slot or possibly outside. They already have Christian Kirk there. So, yep, where do you kind of think that he might fit in this offense?
Well, with Kyler Murray being their first overall pick and them, you know, trading away Rosen, there's no question who's going to be starting week one. And Kyler looked fantastic throwing to his speedy receiver in college, Hollywood Brown. So Isabella, I think, is going to play a very similar role to what Hollywood played back in college. You got to understand, we got this new head coach here. He's going to try to install some more college-type offensive tricks. So I look for Isabella to be that burner. He's going to be Murray's deep threat. And Murray's not afraid to throw the deep ball. So I look for Isabella to be a big play specialist. Kirk's going to work, you know, the intermediate to lower side of the field. And, you know, obviously we're going to talk about some other guys that Arizona's added to this core as well here shortly.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, I think Isabella is a prime target in like the middle of your second round of your dynasty drafts, maybe even a little bit earlier, you know, due to the landing spot and everything. So the next player off the board. So this is a fun thing that we had in one of the chats that we were going on. I said, if DK Metcalf lasts till the third round, that I'll eat a bag of Tyler's body hair.
Ugh.
So thank you to New England for trading down. And then DK Metcalf with the very last pick in the second round gets me off the hook and goes to the Seattle Seahawks.
Who I'm obviously so disappointed.
who have a need at receiver. I even gave you my home address because I wasn't sure what was going on. And man, I was let off the hook at the last second. So Metcalf goes to the Seahawks, who then pretty much announced that Doug Baldwin may have played his last down of football. You know, which obviously would stink. You know, Baldwin's been a good fantasy contributor over the years and a really good player, an overall person, I think. So DK Metcalf to the Seahawks. Tyler, he was a lot of people's top three pick. Where does this make DK Metcalf slide, if at all?
He is my number four overall rookie. I think he just fits that team perfectly. A team where just close your eyes and imagine Russell Wilson scrambling around. DK comes back. Wilson just goes, go. Just go. That's what DK is good at. Just start going straight, run in a straight line, beat that corner to where Russell Wilson's going to bomb it, and just go up and catch it. That's
you know
DK.
What the thing, I just thought of this as you were talking. You know what's going to be interesting? Because a lot of like what Russell Wilson does is when the play breaks down, is DK going to have the agility to
You're
come
say
back
turn
to the
around,
ball?
Aren't you? Oh,
no, to come back to the ball and do that. I don't know. I'm being sarcastic. I really don't like DK.
I was watching the draft with a good friend of mine. He's a stand-up comedian, and he had a couple good jokes that I got to tell. He said DK is like Frankenstein. That is DK. He's pretty much Frankenstein. He can, if you're running from Frankenstein in a straight line, he's going to catch up to you and you're done. But if you're bobbing and weaving, you're going to get away from him. Like, he can't really turn. And then another one was, instead of the Washington, you know, the Redskins, let's call them the Washington Red Potatoes. Because the potato skins, Redskins, Red Potatoes.
That was terrible.
The red potatoes was fantastic. I laughed pretty hard at that.
Let's move on.
Tim got it. Yep. I got Tim.
No, I'm laughing at Doug.
The wind
just completely left my sails. I can't even sail back to the Iron Islands now.
Let's let the fans decide. Let's hear from you guys if it's bad or not. You gonna come at me on Twitter and see if it was bad. And also, it wasn't my joke.
You know what the fans are going to say? They're going to hearken back to the Red Lady setting Baratheon on fire, like sacrificing her. That's going to be Tyler.
Oh, well.
Sorry, buddy. All right, let's move on. Pittsburgh Steelers, the wide receiver whisperers, make Diontae Johnson, the wide receiver 10, off the board at the 66th pick. Overall, this one I was like, you know, I haven't really heard too much about Diontae Johnson. I did a little bit of research on him. Guess who one of his player comps is? It's Antonio Brown. And they got this pick in the Antonio Brown trade. So, Tim, are you buying Johnson just because the Steelers have a pretty good hit rate with wide receivers, or do you like the player himself?
I think the player is decent, but the Steelers taking him definitely in the moment made me go, maybe I'm not right on this guy. Maybe there is something more there. So he's definitely going to be a guy where, you know, if it's mid to late second round, early third round, and I have a pick where I really don't love anybody on the board, he's a guy I'll take a shot on just because of the Steelers' track record.
I like the pick in the player, but yeah, I see him. He's been going. Oh God, I saw him go in the third round.
Yeah.
Of a rookie draft, and I was like, oh, that's just way too much value. I'll take that all day. So San Francisco goes back to the well on receiver. They took Deebo Samuel earlier in the second round, and then they go back to receiver. Well, this is a little bit of a shocker, too, because I knew this guy had some buzz, but I wasn't expecting him to go in the third round at the 67th overall pick in the draft, and that was Jalen Hurd, wide receiver / running back from Baylor. Tyler, what do you think of this pick? I think he's a versatile weapon that Shanahan can use. I mean, they needed some size at the wide receiver position, I guess, is the best way to justify it. But I thought it was a bit of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, I probably won't own him on any teams. We've seen it multiple times. We've seen Terrell Pryor try to do it. I mean, Julian Edelman is a different subject because he's small, short, but like the taller, bigger guys, you've seen like Joe Webb try it and it didn't work out too well. So I'm probably going to pass. I get he has all this talent. He's got the measurables, but I'll let somebody else take him.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move back to the tight end position. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who were mocked TJ Hawkinson quite a bit in the first round, they take athletic Josh Oliver as the overall tight end 5. Big need there. I mean, they don't really have much on the depth chart at the tight end position, so Oliver could step in. He's super athletic, a little bit raw, but he could step in there and get a decent amount of targets from Nick Foles, who liked to target one Mr. Zach Ertz, not saying they're the same player, mind you, but it looks like Nick Foles does like to use the tight end, so I like the pick of Josh Oliver. I think he's a bit of a sleeper, especially in tight end premium formats, because not a lot of people might be familiar with his game. They might be familiar with some of the guys that got picked after him, so I think he can be a sneaky target. So I want to lump three running backs as we're running up against it. I don't know how far Tyler wants us to go tonight, but there were three running backs selected all within the span of four picks or five picks. Darrell Henderson went to the LA Rams. He's your running back 3 off the board. They traded up to get him. They gave up pick 94 and 99 to get to 70. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. David Montgomery went to the Bears at the 73rd overall pick. They also traded up. They traded the 87th overall pick, a later pick, and then a 2024th rounder to the Patriots to move up and get David Montgomery. And then Devin Singletary, surprisingly, went in the same cluster, the pick after Montgomery, to the Buffalo Bills. So he's obviously got a couple of fantasy zombies in front of him with LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore, and they also did pick up TJ Yeldon. So there could be a path to playing time for Singletary, maybe not this year, but in the very near future. So Tim, give me some thoughts on these three Ds. We got Darrell, we got David, and we got Devin going right here in the third round.
All three of these guys were guys that definitely had hype in the pre-draft, you know, to-dos. But what really sticks out to me is you have to pay attention when teams trade up. And the Rams trading up, giving up two picks there towards the back end of the third round is something you have to pay attention for, you know, to. They didn't go up and get him for no reason. They got to have some sort of plan of how they want to use him, how they can weaponize him, that being Daryl Henderson. And then obviously the Bears, they traded up two later picks in this year, and they gave up a fourth next year to go up and get David Montgomery. And obviously with Jordan Howard leaving, there was a bit of a hole to fill. So I think David Montgomery is going to come in and he's going to fill in that early down work when he can. And, you know, I mean, Tyreek's going to take the rest of it as much as he can. So, and then the Bills, I think they got a Shady-esque type player there in Devin Singletary. And hopefully Devin can learn from Shady before he finally decides to go away. And maybe he'll even learn something from Frank Gore about how to play in the league for 24.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler, any thoughts on this trio of running backs here?
I like the Montgomery fit because Nagy really liked Kareem Hunt when he had him his rookie year. And that being like, Montgomery reminds me a lot of Kareem Hunt. So I think the skill set fits. He can catch the ball in the backfield. Tariq Cohen doesn't need to be overused with how small he is. So I think Montgomery is a great fit. I took him at 109. I traded up in a draft. And yeah, I think there's three running backs in this rookie class that are worth a pick in the first round. And that's Jacobs, that's Sanders, and that's Montgomery. And I think if you can't get one of those, wait. Henderson, I don't think it worries me too much about Gurley. I would buy Gurley on the cheap because there's going to be a lot of panicked owners.
Oh, big time.
So go buy Gurley. And Henderson is going to have a role. He's going to be like a Tev Coleman. He's gonna come spell, and they're going to look for that home run hit, which is what Henderson is. He's like Tev Coleman to me. He's a guy that could hit a 60-yarder, or he could get 2 yards because he can't move left and right. So, yeah. And with Singletary, who knows? I wasn't too big on him. And going to the Bills, I'd rather have Yeldon than Singletary. I think Yeldon's a better player.
I agree with you on that one. So the 75th pick overall, just after Devin Singletary, this was a nice one. I thought it was a really good fit for a player that I know a lot of people really liked, and that was Jay Sternberger going to the Green Bay Packers. All they have on the depth chart is pretty much the ghost of Jimmy Graham, his corpse. I don't even think that the Night King can revive Jimmy Graham at this point.
He just raises his hands and Jimmy Graham just lays there.
His eyes just don't turn blue. He's just like, what the hell? Am I defective? So Jay Sternberger, I think goes to a plum spot with a team that had need there. And here's the thing about the Packers. They don't have like a traditional slot receiver in that offense as of this moment. And they didn't draft one either. So I think Sternberger, much like TJ Hawkinson, can be that threat in the middle of the field. Tim, what do you think about Sternberger?
I again, another prospect I liked. I think he was one of the tight ends that showed upside in this deep tight end class. And then he got himself a plum landing spot there with Green Bay. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has his history of not really being, the quickest guy to trust rookies and young players. He's not the easiest guy to get along with, it seems like, at times. Mm-hmm. But he's going to have to with Jace, because who else do they have there at the tight end position, like you said? And you also mentioned there's not a traditional slot receiver. So for that middle of the field type of targets, Aaron's really going to have to trust Jace. And I think Jace is just the type of guy who's going to lead to Aaron falling in love pretty quick.
Jace is on the case.
There you go.
For all you Paw
Patrol
fans
out there. For all you parents out there.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we had the Washington Redskins adding a playmaker to the offense, where there should be some targets available because Josh Doctson, he's not really a thing. Terry McLaurin from Ohio State goes to the Washington Redskins 76th overall. I like this fit. If they're going to have a young offense with Geis and obviously Haskins, and they add McLaurin as a pass catcher there. And we'll get to one of their pass catchers if we have time later, who went a lot further than anyone thought he would. But Tyler, initial thoughts on Terry McLaurin?
I like the fit. You know, they're comfortable with each other. Terry McLaurin, he's a guy who has risen throughout the process. He's a guy who has definitely turned heads. And I think he's going to be kind of like a Jarvis Landry-esque type player. But you hear scouts saying that you haven't seen the best from him. He was kind of stuck with Campbell. And who's the other receiver that was from Ohio State? I swear there's one more. But I know that he's a guy that we could see a better NFL career than a college career. I mean, he was a third round pick. So yeah, in your third round of rookie drafts, he's worth a shot because he has the capital. He's been turning heads throughout the process. So, you know, a lot of people like him in the NFL. So take your chance on him. Early third, mid third.
Take a chance. Take a chance. Sorry.
Take a chance on me.
Nice. So next up, we have the Houston Texans selecting a tight end in the third round for like what seems like the sixth straight year. Just kind of see if this one hits. But it's Kahale Waring. Tim, you're currently the high bidder on one of our auction leagues for this man. Talk to me.
Kahale wasn't one of my... Yeah, he's a big fella. He was not one of my top five tight ends in the class. I think when he go tight end seven overall. So the NFL will agree with me here. But you got to like the landing spot there with Houston. Like you said, they keep attempting to try to hit on these tight ends. So I like the upside of the landing spot. And really, I'm the leading bidder on that guy because some of the other bigger name tight ends are going for these big time price tags. So I mean, if the tight end three and four are going to go for, you know, a certain price, I'm going to force the tight end seven up as well. So if I win, I'm not a problem. I'll take the upside with the position as well. But
nothing wrong price with that. Enforcement. So yes, the running back six off the board. This one surprised a lot of people.
Yeah,
it was the 87th overall pick. New England traded back from 73, and they picked up Damian Harris from Alabama. So I know initially at first thought, people were like, oh, that's interesting. What about Sony Michel? This is a perfect example of a player that I'm going to take the discount on because here's the deal. So if you pick up Damian Harris at the right price, Sony Michel, you know, he had a great rookie year, I think. He scored the only touchdown in the Super Bowl, so there's going to be some recency bias on him. But a lot of people forget that he missed multiple games in the middle of the season with a knee injury, and there was some rumors that he had Jay Ajayi, which is, I believe, the medical term for it.
Never.
So here's the thing. So if Sony Michel misses time, you can't tell me now that Rex Burkhead is the replacement. The only guy on that roster that can replace what Sony Michel does in between the tackles, in my opinion, is Damian Harris. And the good thing about Damian Harris, he never puts the ball on the ground, which is probably one of the reasons the Patriots drafted him. Mm-hmm. But I low-key love the landing spot for him. And I don't really – I think he cuts into a little bit of Michelle's work too because I don't think they want to give him 20 carries a game. So I like the discount that's going to come with Damian Harris going to the Patriots because let's face it, a lot of people avoid the Patriots' backfield at all costs, and it's always get the cheapest option. Right now that cheapest option outside of Rex Burkhead is going to be Damian Harris. So I like the fit, and I think it's a sneaky, sneaky good one for fantasy. So let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens adding a second receiver here in the top 100 picks. I'm going to go to you, Tyler, because he's a Notre Dame kid. He's a big athlete. It's Miles Boykin. They traded up for him. They traded up about 10 spots, and they gave up a couple of picks in the 190s. So they moved up to get him. So this is something that they lacked on the outside. They didn't have size on this team, but now they do. Right, Tyler?
Yes, and I love it. I think they went for Fitz, and you know, you have the speed guy in Brown, and then in Boykin, you have the size-speed combination, the guy who has the raw athleticism, who hasn't yet kind of completed the mold of himself yet. So I think Baltimore going there, he could work with a wide receiver coach, get better route running. And I mean, Marquise Brown is a great guy to learn route running from. So that's what he's known for, is his routes and his explosiveness. Those two working together on the same field, I think they complement one another very well. And Boykin's going to be a guy I am probably going to have a lot of because I'm going to target him in the third round. And I love that because you have Lamar Jackson, who is kind of a rangy thrower, a guy who likes to... what's the word I'm looking for?
Throw it out of range?
Yeah. And, I mean, Boykin has a massive wingspan, so I think that's going to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to take the next one, Timmy. I know we're both big fans, but I've got a story about my boy, Dawson Knox. So I tweeted out, I said, please, Patriots, Dawson Knox. The Buffalo Bills trade up from 112 to get to 96 in front of the Patriots. They select Dawson Knox. The Patriots immediately trade out of their next pick. I think this was the target for the Pats. I like the fit with the Bills. I mean, all they really have on that roster is Tyler Kroft. They have a guy that they like in Jason Kroom. And they drafted, we won't touch on him too much, obviously, but they drafted Tommy Sweeney, kid, in the seventh round.
They did.
Oh, you know, I was stoked about that. I actually got someone that tweeted at me and like, what do you think about Tommy Sweeney to the Bills? So yeah, Dawson Knox, I think he has a potential to be a George Kittle type of player. You know, not a lot of college production, but the athleticism around it. Now, I don't know if he's going to do that in Buffalo. But again, this is the kind of player that I love, that the, you might be able to get a discount because he landed with the Bills, and people might not love that. So that's how what I think of Dawson Knox right now. So the next player, 100 overall, was quarterback Will Greer, which I don't think was much of a shocker. I was kind of low-key hoping the Pats might get him because I'm a big Greer guy, as is Tim. So, Tim, talk to me about Will Greer being the backup or maybe the future quarterback of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, in one of my talks about Will Greer, about, I think when we did our quarterback breakdowns just a few weeks ago and talking about potential landing spots, Will Greer was the guy that I said is he needs the Aaron Rodgers treatment. He needs to be brought in, sat behind the solidified starter, and he's either going to grow into the starting quarterback you want him to be, and at some point he's going to give you that problem you're going to have of we have to make this decision now. Or you're gonna realize that he's not ever gonna grow. And my belief is he is gonna grow into a very solidified quarterback prospect for the Panthers. And you know, he's gonna put them in a bad spot here in a few years. They're gonna have to choose between Cam and him. So I like the landing spot. I know, like you said, I saw plenty of people knocking the Will Greer landing spot, just like you mentioned about Dawson Knox. I like him just fine because people are gonna sleep on it, and I'm gonna get him later in drafts than I originally was planning on.
Yep. So our last pick in the third round, before we hit a little bit of a speed round here, bit of a surprise, to be completely honest. At running back, you know, there's some guys that really love this guy, and there's some people that really do not like this guy whatsoever. It's running back Alexander Mattison from Boise State going to the Minnesota Vikings, and it's going to be the future backup of Dalvin Cook. So obviously with the Vikings pick, we'll shoot it to Tyler. What do you think of this Madison pick? I think it was a lot earlier than I thought he would go.
Yeah, me too. But their skill set, like, he's a very poor man's Dalvin Cook. If you watch his tape, he does some things okay, but Dalvin Cook does them much better. So I think...
because he's awesome.
If Dalvin Cook ever went down, I think they'd be okay with Madison going in because he can do similar things. I think he's honestly a blend of Latavius Murray and Dalvin Cook. Like, if those two had a weird baby, it would be Madison. So I'm okay with it. Yeah, it was a little earlier, but it was a need, and they went and got their guy. That's good insurance, and if you own Dalvin Cook, yeah, you're probably going to have to go get yourself some Madison.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now we're getting into the fourth round. So instead of going over every single pick in the fourth round, I'm going to give it to you boys, and I'm going to start with Tim. So I want you to point out some of the players from the fourth round all the way to the end of the draft that you really liked, or you were surprised by the fit, or surprised that they slid so far, those type of scenarios. So Tim, when you're ready, hit me.
All right, so I'll leave the first fantasy asset in the fourth round for one of you guys, but I like Justice Hill to the Ravens. I don't think there's a running back on that roster that's got his skill set that's smaller and more shifty than he is. The Benny Snell pick to the Steelers at 122, he was the RB10 come off the board. I just like the Steelers system that they have for running backs. So if Benny Snell were to see any chance at starting games or getting you know, a chunk of playing time throughout the season due to injury or whatever, I think that Benny Snell's going to have some upside for us here. And then I'll go deeper into the draft here. So Travion Williams to the Bengals. The Bengals ended up taking two running backs here late between Travion Williams and Ronnie Anderson. Not necessarily interested in Travion Williams, but the pick made me scratch my head. And then when they went and made the Rodney Anderson pick at 211, I really went, that might just be insurance policies, I guess. But I'm not going to, you know, fall off Mixon, but it might just be enough for other Mixon owners. You might want to just go, you know, test the waters and see what they're thinking there. I love the Easton Stick pick to the Chargers. I know Doug brought him up on a podcast just a few weeks ago. You know, I really think that the Eagles were looking to bring him in to pair him with Carson to make him teammates again.
North Dakota boys.
Yeah, but the Chargers got him right in front of the Eagles there. So the Eagles ended up taking a quarterback in Clayson Thorston out of Northwestern. The kid's got a lot of talent. I'll say that. A bad team in college. Definitely won him some games. I think that's going to about do it. No. The Miles Gaskin pick. 234, running back
Miami,
24.
Right?
He was the last running back to come off the board. But the kids had some flashes in college, so just keep an eye on him. Throw away last pick of the draft, fourth round. Just throw it out there on Miles Gaskin. You never know. He might end up turning that around for you.
All right, Tyler, it's your turn. Give me some of the scraps from round 4 to round 7, and then I'll close this out with whatever's left.
All right, I'm going to give you the first pick in the fourth round, Hakeem Butler. I think he could have a better career than Andy Isabella. I like Hakeem Butler with Murray. Big arm, big guy going up and getting it for Murray in Arizona. I love that pick. I think he is my 12th overall player in just standard format. I still love Butler. Ryan Finley, I think he's a sleeper. I think he kind of fits what Zach Taylor wants from his quarterback, and that's just accuracy, get the ball out quick, don't make mistakes, and he could be a guy that takes over for Andy Dalton sooner than later. I will save the Washington Redskins pick for you, Doug, because I know you want to talk about it.
Thank you.
Gary Jennings is a guy that I like through the process, and going to Seattle in the fourth round, he could be the replacement for Doug Baldwin. He could fit in the slot. He's a good route runner. He's got some good explosiveness off the line. Look out for him. I'll save the New England pick for you. Foster Moreau is a guy that I actually have in a Devy League. He went to Oakland. Oakland needed a tight end.
Big
I love
time opportunity
that fit
there.
Yep. He's a great blocker. And that's what you heard. And also, he is a fantastic receiver as well. So he fits that scheme. The doubling, the blocking receiving tight end for Oakland. Raquel Armstead, love that pick. That is a huge sleeper pick for me. Fournette isn't known as the healthiest person. Raquel Armstead reminds me of Fournette, a big guy, very athletic, can bulldoze you. And with that line that they look like they updated, give me Raquel Armstead if you own Fournette. You need to get him. And going through, Keyshawn Johnson for Arizona is a guy that could actually outperform every receiver there. He could be the next... He could be the next Larry Fitzgerald. He's a great route runner. He's just an overall good receiver, and I think he's a student of the game. And they had his comp to Davante Adams. ESPN, stop with that. Don't put Davante Adams with Keyshawn Johnson, but can he be a good wide receiver too in the future? Yeah. So he's
Can he be Keyshawn Johnson?
Maybe.
Sorry.
Another pick I love, Gardner Minshew. I liked him through the process going to Jacksonville. I think he, in Superflex Leagues, he's a guy you should take with a later pick. Dexter Williams, guy I loved, went to Green Bay. I think he's better than Jamal Williams, but he's not better than Aaron Jones. So Aaron Jones, truther, you guys are safe. I'll save the Washington pick for you too as well. Rodney Anderson is... Those two picks were very weird to me because Rodney Anderson kind of fits the Joe Mixon mold.
Yeah.
And then Trayvon Williams fits the Giovanni Bernard mold. So it's like insurance for both there.
Remember, Gio's making big money, so this is probably his last year there.
Yeah, and it's very weird for me because it's like they have insurance for both of their good running backs. So I still like Rodney Anderson. I'll probably still draft him in like the fourth or fifth rounds of rookie drafts. I got to keep the hope alive.
Yeah. Like
and that... I think that will probably do it. I mean, you got Travis Homer going to Seattle. Rest in peace. They have like 85 running backs.
So many running backs. CJ ProSize, rest in peace. Anyway, all right, so I'll kick it off with some of the guys that I like. So the Washington Redskins, this was a surprising pick because there was rumors that this gentleman may not go drafted at all because of his ACL recovery, and that was Bryce Love. Mm-hmm. And you already have Darius Geis. Obviously, they have Adrian Peterson. They have Chris Thompson. They have Samaje Perine. They have Rob Kelly. A couple guys are getting cut off that team. Obviously, Bryce Love is probably going to be an IR stash for the first year. They're saying that Darius Geis is a slow recovery. This is the thing. I thought originally Bryce Love would be like a top of the third type of rookie pick, but I think this even knocks him down even further because he landed with the Redskins. So, I mean, if you have a fourth round rookie pick and want to use it on Bryce Love or a late third, I suppose, then I would be okay with that. The next one I want to go over is Riley Ridley went to the Chicago Bears. I know a lot of people really like Riley Ridley. I don't think this is a terrible spot for him. He's going to be obviously behind A-Rob and Anthony Miller. You know, Taylor Gabriel's there. And then outside of that, there's really not too much on that depth chart. So again, with a late third, early fourth round pick, I've got no problem with Riley Ridley. Jarrett Stidham went to New England in the fourth round. They traded back into the spot and then picked him as maybe their heir apparent. I mean, they take a quarterback every year. They took Danny Etling last year. Stidham, a lot of people liked. He played in a really bad offense this past year for Auburn. So, again, in super flex leagues, this is a guy you can get super late. Probably you'd have to pick him before you pick the likes of Gardner Minshew. I low-key kind of like Stidham. So it'll be interesting to see if he gains any traction here because Tom Brady is not getting any younger. Hunter Renfro to the Oakland Raiders, I thought was a really good pick because they don't really have a traditional slot receiver on that team. You know, Ryan Grant is pretty much their slot guy. They got rid of Seth Roberts. But Hunter Renfro seems like a John Gruden type of guy. So I think that he could have a year one contribution for your teams, and you're not going to have to pay a lot to get him, let's be honest. He looks like a substitute teacher, but he could be a great slot receiver in the NFL, I think. A couple other guys real quick. Ty Johnson went to the Detroit Lions. I think he's the heir apparent to Theo Riddick. So again, late round flyer, pretty easy there. Now, the biggest slide of the whole draft, round six, pick 206, wide receiver 23 was Kelvin Harmon. Now, in all your rookie mocks, he was a first-round pick. Early in the process, he was a top three pick. Devi Darling, and this is why Devi can be a tricky beast, because you guys have guys that Kelvin Harmon that people pump up in Devi, and then things like this happen. He pulls a Malachi Dupree, right, and then gets drafted in the sixth round. Now, the good thing is he went to a team where he could have some opportunity. Josh Doctson's a free agent at the end of the year. Paul Richardson is forever hurt. So they got Terry McLaurin, they got Kelvin Harmon to go with some other younger pieces. So I really like the fit for Harmon. And another example of a guy I'll take the discount on. One of my last ones is Darwin Thompson, running back, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Super duper crazy good athlete, very productive in college. There's not a lot of their backfield is obviously Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde. Darwin Thompson could be the third guy there. Just a side note, the Chiefs did sign undrafted free agent James Williams, who I love as a pass catcher. So just a side note on him for some of the undrafted guys that went to good spots. And last but not least was Caleb Wilson. So the Patriots go throughout the whole draft and they don't take a freaking tight end. And Caleb Wilson is Mr. Irrelevant. Tight end 16 at pick 254. I thought he'd go way before this just based on his athletic profile, his production in college. This was a bit of a shocker to me. We could have 2 years in a row where Mr. Irrelevant is fantasy relevant. So Trey Quinn, he's the starting receiver in Washington this year. And Caleb Wilson, he's behind Charles Clay and Ricky Seals-Jones. He may not be a year one guy, but in a couple of years, Caleb Wilson in that offense with a lot of these other kids could be a thing. So again, a great flyer at the end of your rookie drafts or as your undrafted free agent pickup, especially in tight end premium format. So I like some Caleb Wilson going to the Cardinals. Whew. That wraps us up, guys. That was a pretty... and Tommy Sweeney to the Bills. Can't forget about him.
Yeah. The Kelvin Harmon slide was pretty crazy. I do have one name undrafted rookie that I did want to talk about.
Sure.
That's A.J. Brown. Or not, I'm sorry, not A.J. Brown.
Wait, what?
He got picked?
I had him up on my screen. It's Anthony Johnson, went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a kid that was up in Buffalo, was a very solid receiver, playing there with quarterback Tyree Jackson, who I forget where
went
he ended
up. Went to the Chiefs.
Chiefs,
the Bills. He went to the Bills. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did stay home. He went to the Bills. But his receiver, Anthony Johnson, is down there in Tampa Bay now. He's going to be able to learn. I think he'll make the team. He's a guy that 2-3 years into the league, I think, is when we're going to start really seeing him develop. So he's just a guy to keep in mind. Keep your eyes on him.
Love it. Tyler, any undrafted guys that piqued your interest?
No, not really. God. Just I'm still kind of gathering processing. My thoughts about the drafts and Game of Thrones, what happened this week.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm all over the place.
I can't wait to watch it again.
Yeah.
How about Emmanuel Hall not getting drafted but going to the Bears? That was an interesting one.
Yeah. That was interesting. With his 40 time, you'd think he would, but I mean, maybe when Taylor Gabriel leaves, that's where he'll
low key love Stanley Morgan Jr. to the Bengals too.
Yeah. I mean they needed some insurance. And Stanley Morgan seems like an insurance company to me. Every time I hear it, I just it's an insurance company. Like, all right, I got some auto insurance, got some home insurance. What do you need?
You want a super sleeper, but I'll leave you with this. Is Jacoby Myers for the Pats, for the Patriots?
They always have some weird, random sleeper that everybody just... Like, what's that running back from last year?
Jakobi. That was Ralph Webb.
Yeah.
Yep. And Tyler Gaffney a couple years before that.
Yeah. Yep. There's Gaffney. Always
preseason
that
favorite. DFS favorite.
I had him on the
favorite.
Back of the taxi squads, just sitting.
There's always one random Patriots, undrafted free agent that just keep an eye on him and never pans out.
You heard it here first. Jacoby Myers, people. All right, cool. That is going to wrap us up this week. Guess what is coming up next week, gentlemen? A very, very special episode to look forward to. It is our annual animal comp draft with the zookeeper himself, Matt Price. It's going to be me, Tim, Matt, as well as Justin. Yeah, because Tyler can't make it. Sorry, Tyler. He's so mad.
I am. I'm actually very upset about this.
Yeah, we're in the midst of our animal draft right now. We're going to bring you the animal comps on these rookies. It is a very, very fun episode. So make sure you tune in next week to the Dynasty Happy Hour. And also make sure you check out Trophy Smack. Use that code DHHRING and get yourself entered in to win that free autographed Saquon Barkley jersey. Those go for about $300. So if you win that, get it framed up nice, hang it in your man cave. I would never hang that in my man cave because I'm not a Giants fan, but Barkley is amazing, so make sure you check that out as well. We will see you next time on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.